country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat me a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. Peaches come from a can, they were put there by a man in a factory downtown.
We be the infamous, you heard of us, official
review.
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 Official.
Review.
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 Official.
Review.
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 Hey, yo, what up, everybody? It is the Upon Official Review podcast back in action. It's in French. That's action. Action.
That's right.
For you international listeners, along with our Philadelphia and national crowd, thank you guys for tuning in, listening on your iPods or downloading it through the website, whatever it may be. It is your boys, Magnum and Murdoch. That's me, Ari, and Al over there. Al, say what's up.
Hey, people. Thanks a lot for listening. We love all our followers. Hope you enjoy the show. We got a good one planned. We got some NBA season preview. We'll definitely talk some Sixers. They got a as a Sixers fan, I think I'm more excited about this year than any year since the year after probably they went to the finals. So it's been about 10 years since they've had a team, I think, as good as they do now. We'll also be talking some birds, some general NBA talk, and might even touch on a little hockey and baseball just to complete the, I guess, quadfecta. So
yeah, man, we definitely we got to talk Flyers, man. They're undefeated right now.
Yeah, that's right. Best record in hockey, number one team.
Have not lost a game yet. Psyched. Nope. But no, thank you guys again for being a part of this show, for listening in, for tweeting at us, for following us at Official Review. We enjoy putting on these podcasts, and we love your feedback. So yeah, great show coming up, and we're going to kick it off talking some Sixers. I was at the game last night. It was rocking for the most part. I was hoping I would get to see Bynum, but he's not back yet. But totally fine with that. I would rather him play less games right now than, you know, and be fresh. Me and you have had this philosophy for years. You being somebody who's familiar with lower body knee type injuries, you know, when you're a bigger guy, sometimes you just need to have not as active, you know.
Hey, I mean, I've actually Bynum's dislocated his kneecap. That I've had that exact same injury. It's painful. You never really recover. Your knee's always in a lot of pain the rest of your life. I mean, he can be more successful than others, but you know, that guy's in pain. There's no question about it. And until the pain subsides, he needs to take time off because we want him 100% in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
You know, obviously, home field in the first round would be something that the Sixers actually legitimately can and should shoot for, you know, a top four seed.
Yep.
But in the end, the seeding matters a lot less than being healthy at the right time and peaking at the right time. That is the most important thing because
no
you saw last
it.
Year they were the eighth seed and came within a game of even making the conference finals. And their team is much, much better this year. So it's an exciting time to be a Sixers fan, really.
It really is.
They got shooters. I think it's a fun team to watch. For the past few years, they've been offensively brutal. And since Iverson left, they haven't been exciting on the offensive side of the ball at all. They couldn't shoot three-pointers. And, you know, three-pointers, that's a good way to score points.
Yeah.
You know, a guy that shoots – you know, it's worth so much. You know, if you shoot 35% from three, that's like shooting 50% from two. You know, I mean, it's just the value of those shots are so much more. It just obviously ends up being such a weapon.
And
it can be – it's such a big thing that charges the home crowd up. It gets the team up. It gets you – it starts runs a lot more often because – there's energy in the building. You hit those threes, the crowd goes crazy. You know, the other team's calling timeout. You know, that's what it's fun to watch, you know, and you need to be able to hit the outside shot. And now we have a great, I think, inside-outside game. We should once Bynum comes back.
Yeah, man, that's huge.
I mean, I think about, you know, we might not have quite as good perimeter defense without Andre Iguodala, but we've got the big eraser back there to you know, if somebody gets beat, he can make a big block and really bail out the perimeter defense.
That's true,
if they
it's not only somebody who can block shots, but somebody who can alter shots. You know, just
absolutely.
No, when you got to go around the guy or go over him, you're more likely to miss that shot. So that's huge.
Yeah, and sometimes you see guys driving in and then I'm not even going to take the shot, you know, because I can't, because he's right there ready to block it. So that's the presence we have. We have the clearly to me the best center in the Eastern Conference, and that is that's a nice thing. That sounds nice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, when's the last time we had the best center in the Eastern Conference? Moses Malone was his name, and that's going back.
Yeah.
So
1983
was the title year, I think. I'm not sure how much longer
I think it was
stuck around in that. It's been a while, so.
It's me and my buddy were actually breaking it down. My buddy Danny contributes to the show sometimes. Bynum is essentially the second best. Actually, not even essentially. He's hands down the second best center in the NBA. And
Correct. Yep.
Iguodala, we mapped it out. He's pretty much the sixth or the seventh best small forward in the league. So you took the sixth or the seventh small forward in the league for the second best center in a league that's
all. You really think Iguodala is the sixth or seventh best small forward?
Absolutely, yeah. If you look at all of the different small forwards in the league, you know, maybe those two and three kind of combo guys, but even just the threes, the guys that are strictly play small forward, there were six guys or five guys.
I was thinking maybe he was lower than that. Like
you might even be right. Might even be right. And then even before that, last year during the season when Iguodala made the All-Star team, you know, great. We're not going to deny he's a great defensive player, but
he's a good all-around player.
Yeah, exactly. But he was probably in our – me and my buddies tracked the top 10 worst All-Stars our lifetime. And we were like, he's got to be on that list. He's just not great. He's not really a –
he's a guy – yeah, I agree. Now, it's funny because he was, you know, he's a guy that fits great on an Olympic team.
Yep.
Because he's the kind of guy that doesn't need minutes, doesn't need shots, doesn't need to worry about showing, hey, I'm the man here. He's going to do all the little things. He's going to do all the unsexy things that helps the team win.
Yep.
But for the Sixers, as your best player, he's a terrible best player. He's a great third best player.
Right.
Exactly. And so changing him for Bynum. Now, I'll even take it one step further. Think about it this way. Thaddeus Young plays the same position, or he can be a four if you want to go small.
Yeah.
But he's pretty much – what's the drop-off between Iguodala and Young? Not that big.
Really isn't much.
You know what I mean? We already had a pretty good three that is only maybe slightly worse and probably better offensively but worse defensively. But the whole combination is maybe a little bit worse.
Right.
From our center now goes up humongously. It's our center's 10 times better for a guy that's like 2% worse at the three.
Right.
We already had a guy that couldn't quite get the minutes he needed and everything else. So I don't even think we're losing much by losing Iguodala just because Thaddeus Young we have already on the team ready to step in and be a starter now and get more minutes. And I think his game's going to blossom because we just had too many players at that position.
You're right.
So it was
all
just
tweeners. You're right.
Yeah, so I don't think we're losing much at all, considering, yes, the perimeter defense might not be as good, but our interior defense is much better. So, you know, it's probably in effect, our defense is going to even be better, if anything, because we have that huge presence inside, going to pound the glass and be able to, like you said, alter shots, block shots. And I think our you know, as far as Iguodala to Thaddeus Young, that's not a big drop off.
Yeah, I agree. As a matter of fact,
I'm really excited.
Close,
sky's
especially
limit.
If you talk about their games are kind of similar. Thaddeus Young's probably even better 15 feet and in. He's got a better touch. Iguodala's touch is better from, you know, 15
absolutely
to 20 feet. But, you know, their offensive games are.
Yeah, Iguodala's not a great shooter.
No,
Thaddeus Young's a better
he's gotten
shooter
better from the outside over the years, but he's
still
not
still
a reliable
not, he's not a great scorer. He's not a great
no,
scorer.
No, he's not. He's not a great
scorer. He does everything else really well. He's not a great scorer.
It's true.
He doesn't shoot free throws well.
Yeah.
Not the dog Iguodala, because he did maximize what he had. And for the eighth overall pick, you know, it worked out well, obviously.
He did.
But, man, what an upgrade. I think our team's going to be so much better. And who's the guy that Spencer Hawes had a phenomenal game last night?
Great game last night. Double-double, two three-pointers that were big. Yep. He had five blocks.
Five blocks. I didn't even know he filled up the stat sheet. I know, right?
He's lost weight.
Who knew?
I will give him props. Yeah. Got in shape, and they said he's worked on his outside shooting. Doug Collins said he'd rather have Spencer Hawes take a three than a long two, which is crazy for a seven-footer, but he's got that kind of range.
I'd always rather a three than a long two, because statistically it's not big much of as much
right.
of a difference.
Yeah,
and
he's
obviously
got that kind of range.
Yeah, that's nice. My question is, do you know what their plan is for Spencer Hawes once Bynum gets in the lineup? Are they going to have him play the backup five, or is he going to play the four?
They want to play him at four.
See, I love that. I think with Hawes and Bynum inside, man, you've got a great 4-5, and then. You have Drew Holiday, Evan Turner, and then you've got Thaddeus Young at the three. I think that's a great starting five.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't see why. Who is better in the East other than Miami? Maybe Boston? Maybe? Boston's pretty old. I definitely think if you told me right now the Sixers are going to end up as the number two seed in the East, I would not be shocked. Maybe mildly surprised, but it's in play. I think they can definitely win 50 games. Maybe not quite get the number two seed, but they'll be, you know, I think with 10 or 15 games to go, it'll be a possibility at the very least. They'll be in the running, I think. It'll be in the top half of the East, I think, all year long. And I think they definitely have a great chance to be in that top four at least and get home field in the first round.
Well,
and be favored in the first round.
Let's talk about the rest of the Eastern Conference. The other team that I think that could come out in that top four is probably the Pacers. Well, let's look at the breakdown of the divisions in general. There's Atlantic, which has – we got the Knicks, the Nets, right? The Raptors.
Yeah, Toronto, they're probably going to be the worst team. The Knicks, Nets, and obviously Boston
and
Toronto. So. Mm-hmm. Those are the four teams other than Philadelphia in the Atlantic Division.
Boston's
so
kind of a –
You don't know what – I mean, they could be great, but they also could slip a little bit this
right.
year. And certainly in the regular season, it wouldn't surprise me if they kind of bided their time. They're an older team.
Right.
They're a veteran team. They know how to flip the switch.
Exactly.
Not to say they will, but it wouldn't shock me if they – I mean, obviously, Boston probably is a more – slightly more talented team than the 76ers are right now. Again, we'll see how the Sixers gel. I think we have a phenomenal coach. And as much as Doc Rivers is a very good coach, it's funny because everybody used to make fun of him when he first started as a coach. But, you know, he kind of worked his way into being a very good head coach, I think. But, I'd give us the coaching edge there. Doug Collins, I think he is absolutely top-notch. Boston is a top-notch coach. Rivers is too, but
yeah.
I really don't see why we can't win this division. I mean, at the very least, I think we'd be second place in the division and still, you're right. Indiana, obviously Miami is a huge favorite to be the number one seed. Indiana will be in the picture. Boston, how do you feel about Brooklyn? Do you think? I mean, I think they'll definitely be at least a top six team, possibly.
Right, right.
There's no reason why they can't. I don't think.
Yeah, I think team has definitely got some pieces. They've got Brook Lopez, who's in the top five of NBA centers, probably winning.
Which
healthy.
Is crazy, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I mean, that shows you.
He doesn't rebound, which is weird for a seven-footer, but he only averages like seven boards. But he can score. He's got really nice post moves.
Yep.
And then there's Chicago.
Chicago, you don't know about.
Yeah, we'll see how
they
can do.
They missed Rose a lot, and they still played really well and got the number one seed.
Right.
So they're in the mix, too. To me, those six teams, Miami, Sixers, Brooklyn, Boston, Indiana, and Chicago, are the top six in the East, I think, for sure.
Tell you who won't be there, the Bobcats.
Yeah, the Bobcats, not so much.
No, or the Wizards.
Or Washington or Detroit is going to be bad.
Yeah.
Atlanta should be pretty bad this year, I think.
Yeah, Orlando without Howard, they're going to be hurting.
Atlanta's going to be bad for sure. Yeah, absolutely. There's going to be some bad teams. Toronto's going to be bad. That's another one. Yeah, there's no shortage of bad teams. Milwaukee always seems to be like 8 or 9 or something like that, even though they don't really have that much talent, but they should be okay.
The thing about the NBA, which is, I mean, I guess you could say it for a lot of sports, but especially the NBA more than all the other ones, except maybe a quarterback in football. If you lose one player in the NBA, you know, one guy down to injury, your season could be screwed.
Right. You know what I mean? Like Miami loses LeBron James.
Exactly. Miami loses LeBron James. They go from the 1 seed to like the 6 seed. You know, right. Or maybe like the 5 seed. Maybe
Miami more equipped than most to lose their best player too.
Right.
Because
Wade is clearly taking a step back though, in my opinion.
Well, and obviously he can handle ankle is better. I think they're actually better than they were last year. I mean,
so yeah, we kinda agree that Miami is, you know, head and shoulders above the crowd, and their team is built kinda unorthodox, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I mean, if you look at Miami, what they might be able to do this year is have LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and then surround them with two shooters like Shane Battier and Ray Allen, and that's kind of a scary team. And the funny thing is, traditionally, the two most important players on the court are the point guard and the center, and they don't even have either one of them.
That's right.
And,
yeah, they don't.
And they can potentially win a title. I mean, and sort of almost redefine what we think of the way teams should play. I mean, you know, you're running everything through your point forward, which we've never really had. The closest, obviously, is a Magic Johnson at 6'9".
Or an Oscar Robertson, yeah.
Right, yeah. Being able to play all the positions on the court. Magic Johnson and LeBron James are the only two that have ever been able to do that. And, you know, it's very interesting to see Eric Spoelstra had a quote where the worst thing he did in the first year was try to put LeBron James in a box and say, this is how you play. And the second year he realized, hey, you know, we can really think outside the box and not be so traditional. Okay, you're the small forward. You have to do this. And we're going to have a point guard. We're going to have a center. We're going to have all these things. It's like, you know, why not let the offense run through LeBron James at the 4 or at the 3 or whatever position you want to play him? Considering they don't have an elite point guard, it seems pretty silly to have anyone else running the offense. He's perfect for that. He makes everybody better. He's the best player in the world, the best player since Michael Jordan, no
Absolutely.
Question about it.
No question about it.
Best player in the last, you know, 15 years at least. It's just very interesting to think about how all the different things they can do. There's so many ways they can beat you, and it's fascinating to watch to see. Now, are they going to be as hungry this year? You know, they just won the title. Are they going to be able to motivate themselves to get it again? You know,
right.
And I
right.
Think
and
they
are they mature enough to do what other teams have done and turn it on and off? Because I think they thought they could do it the year that they lost in the finals. They thought okay, we're turning it on now, and then. It didn't work.
Yeah, and you also know? They just thought, okay, we're better than everybody else. We can show up and win. And they realized, wow, this is going to really be a lot of hard work. And I think the knock on James for a long time was, you know, he doesn't work that hard in the off season to get – why doesn't he have a post game? He's 6'10", and he's 700, you know, pounds.
Yeah, 6'9", 6'8".
What's the deal here? Yeah, with 265 pounds, built like a linebacker. And why can't he play in the post? And he worked on his post game, and he sort of – he did what Jordan did. He did what Larry Bird did. He did what Magic Johnson did. He, you know, worked hard, got some new moves, and really took his game to like 10 levels up in the playoffs.
You know
what's
interesting,
you know,
about
Boston had them down.
LeBron and unique is that I've never seen before ever in my life outside of – well, no, not ever. I've never seen a perimeter player – I guess part of it just because he's so big, but – guys don't want to body him up. You know what I mean? And when he's coming down the lane, nobody ever
attempts wants to step in front of him.
No.
Nobody's taking that charge.
Exactly. Nope. When Jordan used to have the kind of finesse where he would go around you if you went up to block his shot, but yep. LeBron doesn't even try to do that. He just tries to dunk on you as hard and as angry as possible, and you just people just get out of his way. When he's coming down the lane, it just opens up, and I'm just like, why are they letting him drive down the lane? It's because nobody wants to get hit by that. You understand the kind of pressure and force that a person moving as fast as he does, you know, running – if you timed it in a 40, I'm sure he'd run like a 4.4, you know, and he's 260 pounds, 6'8", 6'9", you got to get out of the way. And it's just, it's scary. We saw it in the Olympics. We saw it in the finals last year. Saw it in the Heat's first game the other night. It's just like the lane just just parts when he's coming down on a fast break or he's beat his man in the perimeter. The center does not get in the way or whoever's in the paint does not get in the way. It's really interesting to watch. So that's the Eastern Conference. Let's cover the West real quick. The two kind of early stories in the West is the Thunder have effectively just goofed, or not goofed, but we'll see. They've affected their whole nucleus by trading Harden because he was supposed to be, you know, the third piece of the puzzle. Like, you have... many people have written about it. You have, you know, your two all-stars, or really Harden's a third all-star, but you almost always have to have that complimentary third player, somebody who can provide offense and provide a spark off the bench. Yep. Or even if it's not off the bench, you know you're going to have nights when Westbrook is just off, and then Harden, you know, picks up your offense. Because it can't just always be Durant.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now he's gone.
He's a guy that can score 25 points anytime.
Absolutely. And he's very difficult to stop off the dribble, and he's a very solid shooter as well. And now he's gone. So that's really going to affect their team. And then the other story is the Lakers went out and got Dwight Howard, got Steve Nash.
They have four Hall of Famers on the court at any one time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have a perfect five for those four in Ron Artest, a guy who can play an absolute elite defense, does not need the ball at all to be completely invested in the game and can shut, you know, he's not quite the shutdown guy he was five years ago.
Like, exactly. Not but, like he used to be. But
he's still very good and he can get the glass and he doesn't need the ball. So, I mean, the Lakers are definitely a work in progress. Now, you can't change the team that much and expect all of a sudden they're going to be running at full steam. I mean, you look at Miami 2 years ago. It took them a while.
They started the season very slowly. Yep.
And it's going to be the same with the L.A. I wouldn't surprise to see them 9-9 or something like that, or 9-8 or something after the first 18-20 games. But, you know, by mid-season, they'll be in mid-season form. And, so everyone's going to – I expect them to be around 500 or so, maybe even a hair under – for the first few games, everyone's going to panic. And once they, you know, Nash learns how to play with Kobe and Gasol and Dwight Howard, and they all learn how to play together. That's an awesome team. I don't care what those four players.
They're very, awesome. Very talented defensively, offensively, overall.
Yep.
It is curious to me how their coach is going to get them to share the ball, whether or not they're going to play pick and roll, high, low,
right.
The two-man game.
Nash is such a great pick and roll guy, and Gasol and Howard are great pick and roll guys.
Mm-hmm. And Howard only needs one dribble to dunk on anybody, and there's Gasol's got a great touch inside.
Yep. So it's going to be – it's just whether you love or hate the Lakers – you will not turn the TV off when they're on all year.
Yep.
I mean, that's just watching those four. It's fun to watch whether you're rooting against them or for them. I don't think there's any question about it. And with Harden, going back to touch on that, I think that was a big mistake. I think they should have offered him the max contract. They offered him $55 million over 4 years because they couldn't give him the fifth year because they already gave him the fifth year to Durant and Westbrook. And instead of giving him, you know, 59 or 60, whatever the max was like $5 million more, which, you know, here's the thing. They wouldn't give him a no trade clause. So what they offered him, he wanted the max he was allowed to get, which is $60 million over 4 years from them. Now another team can give him 5 years and up to $78 million, but they are only allowed to offer him four because you can't have three different 5-year players, right? So, and they already gave the extra fifth year to Durant and Westbrook. So they are only able to offer him four, but they didn't offer him the max possible, which would have been $60 million. So they're asking him to take a discount, but then they may turn around and trade him, which would have been a max player making less than the max, even a more attractive option on the trade market because he's making less than he should be. If you're going to ask me to take less, you better give me a no-trade clause because then you're going to end up trading me to a team that I could have gotten more with, and now I'm getting paid less by the other team I didn't want to be on. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
So to me, and now they're going to say, oh, we didn't have enough money to keep. Bull crap. They've been making a ton of money lately. And I'm kind of borrowing this point from Simmons. He wrote a column about Thunder the other day. But
yeah, a little bit of it.
To me, they should have clearly offered him the extra $5 million. It's ridiculous that they didn't. Now he's going to be able to get 5 years, $78 million from Houston and get a chance to prove he can be the number one option on a team, which I think he can.
Yeah, I think he can too.
He was willing to be the third fiddle on that team. He was willing to be the third fiddle on that team, even though he had first fiddle skills.
Right.
Not on that team. He was clearly the third best. But,
right.
The fact that you had a superstar willing to be the third wheel and take less minutes and take less points, and then you also ask him to take less money, that's too much. And not giving him a no-trade clause? Come on. So I think they made an absolutely – I mean, these owners are obviously greedy. They screwed over Seattle already.
They had the money.
They've been making a ton of profit the last couple of years.
A ton of money, yeah. Even for a small market, they're making a ton of money.
Small market team. They had the money to do it. They just didn't want to pay him. And over $5 million, they threw away their chance at multiple titles. I think it was absolutely an egregious mistake that their fans should be irate about.
I would be. I would be. I was sad to see that trio split up. I really was.
And now the Lakers are clearly the favorites to me in the Western Conference. And I don't care if the Oklahoma City's the number one seed because, again, let's see how the Lakers play the second half. Forget the first half record because they're going to be working out the kinks. Let's see what they do in the second half. If they have a pedestrian record over the last 41 games, then I'll change my mind. But until that happens, I say it's clearly – there's a clear favorite in the West and the East, and that's Miami and L.A. And that's what I think. And I think Oklahoma is now – I think the Spurs are better than them. I think they're actually the third best team in the West.
I think so, huh? You think the Spurs leapfrog?
Yep.
The Spurs,
I think,
man.
Honestly, the Spurs could have easily beaten them last year. The Spurs are playing phenomenal basketball. After that
second
game,
more, like, 19
the way the Spurs played in that – yeah, and the way they played in that second game of the Eastern Conference – Western Conference Finals, I was saying this is basketball at its absolute best the way they were playing. And, you know, the Thunder went on a roll against them, but, you know, if you play that series out 10 times – up 2-0, they win it probably 8 times. You know what I mean? So,
right, yep.
And the Spurs, we always say they're too old. This is the year. They always end up as the number one seed every year anyway. So I'm done counting them out. I definitely think they'll be top 3 team in the West this year.
You know who's
you never know what's going to happen. Just
Harden
takes a break here or there at the end of a game to win.
Yeah. You know, Harden's game kind of reminds me of Tony Parker's, where you don't see, like, this ridiculous athleticism, just smart basketball. They just seem how to always get to the hoop, and they're always getting a layup or a finger roll near the basket. And you're like, how did that not get blocked? Yep. How are you open?
Yeah, exactly. Harden made a ton of layups and dunks, and he made a ton of threes, and that's a really valuable player. So, no question that they – were greedy, the owners. $5 million over 4 years. Are you kidding me? You're not going to give them the max because you're going to offer him 55 instead of 60? Give him the max. You know, it's a thing where he's already sacrificing minutes and points. And
right.
Now you want him to sacrifice money too. And you're not going to give him a no trade, so he may end up on Houston anyway. When he could have made $78 million with Houston over 5 years, you're going to offer him 55. So you're telling him he's going to turn down $23 million? Who's doing that?
No way.
Guess what?
No,
I'm not.
Way. Yep.
So...
yep.
It's one thing if you give me the no-trade clause, and I know I'm going to stay there. I know I have a chance to win titles. Maybe then I do it. But certainly not for since they can only give him 4 years, and he's making $23 million less, already sacrificing points and minutes, and now he's possibly getting traded too. So I don't think so. So I think completely blame ownership on that one. Those owners are about one thing and one thing only, that's making money, and they all are. You know, it's very rare to me that owners
screw
don't. You know, the Yankees, people always want to say, complain about the Yankees, but isn't that what you want your owner to do?
Yeah.
Spend $230 million a year? That's what I want. I don't want him saving money. I want him spending money. I don't care if they're in the red every year. I want the best product. Yep. Now, I don't like the Yankees. Yep. I'm just saying, would I take the Steinbrenners as the Phillies owners? You bet your ass I would.
Bet.
In a heartbeat.
No doubt. All right. On that note, sir, good stuff. Let's take a break. Come back. We'll do What's Making Murdoch Mad. We'll talk a little bit of birds. I do want to touch on the MLB playoffs. So we'll come back. We'll do that. You guys, stick around. This is the Upon Official Review podcast.
Last word in Philly sports.
That is us. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Upon Official Review podcast in your face. And it is time for my favorite segment, your mom's favorite segment, everybody's favorite segment. It's time for What's Making Murdoch Mad. Murdoch, tell them
who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
All right, everybody. This week, the NHL owners, and in particular, the NHL commissioner, Gary freaking Bettman, are making me mad. I think, first of all, Gary Bettman should change his middle name to Frank, so his name is Gary F. Bettman, because he is a douchebag, and I will tell you why. The NHL, 5 years ago, about 8 years ago now, 2004, 2005, they missed a season for a lockout. Missed an entire season, no Stanley Cup. And at that time, their business model was unsustainable. They didn't have a salary cap, and they would have owners bidding against each other, and they couldn't stay out of their own way, and they were spending more money than they were bringing in. It's clearly the fourth most popular sport in the U.S., basketball and baseball, obviously football, are more popular and make more TV money, everything else.
It was 04, by the way.
It was 04, so 8 years ago. Okay, so at that time, they needed the lockout because they needed the salary cap because it leveled the playing field. You wouldn't have teams. Again, it hurt the Flyers because they were always willing to spend however much. But it was good for the game, and I understood that, and it needed to happen. The players made massive concessions.
Yep.
Massive. Unprecedented in the history of collective bargaining agreements over any sport. They accepted a salary cap and they gave back 24% of the contracts they had already signed. So if they had signed for $10 million, they basically that now contract was $7.6 million. They just agreed to take a huge reduction in pay. Those were guaranteed contracts. They did not have to do that. They could have collected every nickel on the contracts they had already signed. But for the good of the sport, they were willing to not only accept the salary cap, but also give back 24% of the money they had already signed for. Okay? So the players did what they needed to do to get the sport back on track after that 1 year of the lockout. So in the end, it helped the sport because the competitive balance was better. All the teams now, there's a salary cap and a salary floor. However, now the owners want more. They want to go from the players used to make 57% of hockey-related revenue. The owners, their first offer was 43%. They want to give even more. And the reason is, they say, the bottom 10 teams aren't making money. And they're not going to make money no matter what. And to that I say, that's because you put hockey in Atlanta, in Phoenix, two teams in Florida, Dallas, places that don't want your product.
They don't care.
Now, I may not be the best businessman in the world, but even I know that it's a pretty good idea to sell your product to people who actually want to buy it. And so they overexpanded. They diluted the product because think about the league with 24 teams, how much more talent there'd be on every team.
Yep.
You know, the 20 players on those eight teams, that's 160 players that are spread around. You know, every team, all 24 teams would be getting, you know, an extra six players. So you'd be eliminating all the worst players. You'd be eliminating 160 of the 160 worst players in the NHL and spreading all the best players around more teams. So, you know, there should be about 26 teams, maybe 24. Instead, there's 30. And they're selling it to places instead of markets being in Canada where hockey is bigger than football is here. Really, it is. They're putting it in the Atlanta and Phoenix, places that could give a crap less about hockey. And it was stupid. And because they expanded into those markets, those teams are not making money. Well, guess what? They're never going to make money no matter how much the players give back because those markets don't like hockey, don't even know what it is, don't have any idea what the rules are, can't follow the puck. They don't want to watch it. They don't like it. It was a terrible idea. This is Bettman's fault 100%. They should have been putting markets – they should have been putting teams in Canada if they had to expand, and they shouldn't have expanded. So now they want the players to play for their own folly, basically. The players already gave all this back, and now they're locking them out again. This is the third lockout under Gary Bettman. Absolutely. Oof. Screw you to the owners. It's 100% cash grab. It's just greed. They're wanting the players to pay for their own mistakes. You want the bottom 10 teams to make money? Revenue sharing. Let the rich teams pay them. That's what should be happening because it's not the players' fault that they put teams in stupid markets. It is the owners' fault, and they are the ones, and they expect the players to play for their own stupidity. And I think it's 100, this lockout, the players, if they gave in to the owners this time, the owners would then know every time we lock them out, we can get anything we want out of these guys. They absolutely had to draw a line in the sand. And if we lose the season, we lose the season because otherwise the owners are just going to push them around every time the CBA expires to the end of the world. I think this lockout is 100% on the owners' fault. Usually it takes two. It's 100% the owners, 0% the players. And if we lose the season, you know what? I may never go back. I mean, really, this is testing my patience with this league. This league is a joke. It's a laughing stock, and they just were getting some momentum. They had a nice deal with NBC Sports Network,
yep.
Formerly Versus, and you know the Winter Classic was doing really well. They're talking about canceling that. This is an absolute travesty, and it should not be allowed to happen just because the owners were too stupid, and now they want the players to pay for their own mistakes. You know what? You pay for your own mistakes, you idiots. And that is what's making me mad this week. It's an absolute travesty of the highest regard.
It's so true.
Very upset about it. And we should be watching hockey right now. And
yeah.
Instead, we got nothing. So
got nothing.
I'm very, very upset.
No.
And it's 100%
pucks.
The owner's fault. 100% the owner's fault. They want the players to pay for their mistakes. Last time needed to be fixed. This time it does not. You know, the 10 teams are losing money, big whoop. I don't feel in the least bit bad. That's what happens when you put sell products to place in places where they don't want it.
Yep.
This is exactly what's going to happen. So.
Yep. Yeah, it's like let's go to Alaska and open a chain of Rita's Water Ice. Like, no,
yeah, that's exactly what it is. No, they're not gonna sell well. You know, like, oh, yeah. Let's make our customers pay $10 of water ice because nobody's coming in and we're losing money. It's like, oh,
right.
That's not gonna work either. You know?
No, exactly.
It's
exactly.
Your fault you went there, close shop, and then tell me, you know, close up the worst five markets, and then we'll see what the
yeah.
bottom 10 teams are.
Yeah, me and you got invited to do some commentary work and do a podcast for an MMA event last year. And remember we got them for free, but remember tickets were like $35, and we were like, how are they supposed to reach like the common average fan with $35 ticket prices? Like, you know what I mean?
Them, like most of the seats were like 60 and above too.
Yeah,
they were like
yeah.
way too
like,
expensive.
Wait a minute. Like, it just seems like a bad plan if you're trying to get people in at the ground floor, you know, the average fan who doesn't
obviously,
know about
the hardcore
sport.
Fan is going to spend
yeah.
that kind of money, but
right.
that's not a good way to grow your business. You
no.
know, you want to get fans that aren't huge fans that might say, oh, 20 bucks, sure, I'll go. You know,
exactly.
65, you know, they're not going to do that.
No.
It's not a good way. It's a short-sighted thing. Oh, well, if I charge 65 and sell out, I'll make more money. It's like, yeah, but if you charge 20 and get people that aren't fans to become fans, you'll make more money in the long run.
Precisely.
So,
precisely. That whole
It's short-term thinking versus long-term thinking, and long-term strategies are better than short-term strategies.
It's true. Good stuff, sir. What's making Murdoch mad? It does seem like the NHL had some momentum that they totally lost out on.
Yeah, and if they don't sign soon, if the owners don't completely, I mean, because the players should not. I don't think they should. If the sport never returns, they shouldn't bend over, because these owners, this is a joke this time. They gave back everything the owners needed to succeed as a league last time. They shouldn't give back more this time. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So yeah. Some people say Donald Fair, the head of the NHL Players Association, oh, they're blaming him too. No, not at all. They should be drawing a line in the sand. They should not bend over for these owners right here. They're doing the right thing, the players, and I support them 100%. So.
Yeah, last year was actually one of the more fun years I remember watching hockey. It was, it seemed like hockey has the social networks has had a big part in kind of the return in hockey.
Yep.
People were watching it, tweeting about it. It was, they had the HBO special. I see a lot of Tumblr pages dedicated to it, and yeah, it's just a shame that everybody's missing out on it right now. It sucks. For all the fans and everybody who's, you know, even like yep, we said,
sucks
like
the casual,
even the casual people that were starting to pick it up, like, you know,
sucks for the fans. It sucks for the guys who work at the,
yeah,
you know,
you're right. Everybody
sucks for the businesses that are local businesses that get extra, you know, extra, you know,
one of my friends has season tickets and they don't refund you the money. They just, carry it over to the next year. And it's like, you don't want that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
If they cancel the season, they will have to. They won't refund the money if they cancel the whole season. Are you sure?
They don't cancel the whole season, but right now, he's not getting anything. You know what I mean?
Right now, he's not getting it back. But yeah, if they cancel the season, they will, I think, refund the money. But of course, they've been making interest on it all this time. But
it's curious to me what the product's going to be like. We both are in favor of a shorter season anyway, or even a season that's not overlapping with basketball, but this is no way to do it, you know?
Right. The season should start in August. And
yeah.
It should end. What it should do is the playoffs should start in the middle of January.
Mm-hmm.
And just don't schedule games on the weekends much. And certainly not on Sundays during football. Or maybe, because in the playoffs, there's no Sunday night game until the NFC Championship game. So maybe the first 2 weeks you schedule a game at start at 8 o'clock on Sunday night after the football's over, you know, and maybe don't schedule any games on Saturdays because there's a couple games on Saturdays. And then, you know, during the NFC Championship game, Super Bowl, don't schedule any games on Sunday at all and schedule the playoff games for Saturday then. Now what you have is there's not much going on in January. And think about this. After the NFL, February is the absolute dead zone.
It's the dead
zone. Sports.
Yep. Nothing is going
on. Basketball's in, like, the dog days where it's not quite close enough to the end to really be the stretch drive, but it's already been around for a long time, so it's certainly not new. Oh, basketball's back, you know, like it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have basically the NHL playoffs would go straight from the Super Bowl right through, and it would end right before March Madness started. And they would get so many more fans. First of all, the sports calendar would be more fun every year because the worst time of the year now would be one of the best times.
Yep.
And then you'd have, you know, 2 months of hockey playoffs leading straight into 3 weeks of March Madness to 2 months of NBA playoffs. It would be perfect.
It'd be nice.
You'd have playoffs straight from – you'd have whenever the NFL playoffs started, the 1st of January straight through to June. You'd have the NFL playoffs, then the NHL playoffs, then March Madness, then the NBA playoffs. And you're telling me that wouldn't be awesome?
Yeah.
Six straight months of playoffs. Yes, yeah. Please. Where do I sign up for that?
Thank you.
Instead of going up against the NBA playoffs, it's stupid.
Yeah, having to split all those viewers, it's a shame. It really
is. And starting, you know, it's like, well, you're starting a league in the summer. Well, it's better than finishing the sport in the summer. It's a winter sport. The most important game should be played during the winter.
Exactly.
Instead of the most important play played in June. Nobody thinks ice hockey in June. It's a winter sport.
Yep.
Start it in August. Finish it halfway through March, right before the NCAA tournament. You'd get more fans. I personally, my life would be better because there would be more sports on in February, which I hate. It's the worst month anyway because it's freezing. You're telling me that would be a perfect solution.
Yep. Nope. It's absolutely true. We've talked about this before. It needs to be put in front of Senate and Congress and the president.
There would be no downside. The NHL would make more money. The fans would be happier. Everybody wins. And when everyone wins, you should do it.
Yep.
So I don't know why they haven't yet. Because they're stupid. That's why they'd rather lock players out for a couple pennies and ruin their sport.
Boo. All right. No. Let's shift gears.
Let's talk about football.
Let's talk about exactly the birds who the we will continue to complain about.
Yes.
Did last podcast. We will still complain about them. They still are doing the same dumb things, except for this past week, the defense.
They
changed the defensive coordinator, and it gets worse, even with an extra week to prepare.
Yeah,
they score on what, six straight possessions?
The first six straight possessions, which took you to halfway through the fourth quarter before they actually punted.
Yeah, we didn't even.
The only positive in that was we didn't have our punt return team didn't completely screw us all game long because they never got a chance.
That's true. That is absolutely true. But so we won't talk too much about them because I do want to talk baseball for a moment, and we're gonna do a big NFL episode. Next week too, but
NFL power rankings next week.
Yes, you guys definitely are going to want to check that out. That's going to be a slam bang, break your face type episode. But it looks like Vic is on a very short leash right now. And we talked about this before. I mean, we kind of figured this was the put up or shut up, make or break year for Reed. How short do you think this? I mean, this is a crucial game. This is the difference between 4-4 and 3-5, right? If they win this game. So if we lose this game, do you think that the Birds will put Foles in and kind of ride it out with him and see what it looks like?
Here's the thing. I mean, I would say yes and no, and that's kind of a non-answer, I know. But here's the thing. It would be, if we lose this game, would it be in the best interest of the organization to put Foles in to see what we have before the end of the year? So maybe next year we know, oh, we better go make a trade for a high draft pick or something else, or figure something else out to do. Yes, that would be in the best interest of the organization. Would it be in the best interest of Andy Reid, who has to win this year to keep his job? No, it would not be.
No, it would not be. You're right.
Keeping Michael Vick in would be the best interest of him, because even though Vick's played terrible this year, there's still a better chance that he could somehow turn it around than Foles would be to turn the season around.
Because he's learning on the job.
So it's kind of funny. It's comical to me. The Eagles are a laughing stock. Let's face it. The rest of the league makes fun of us. That the head coach's best interests are in direct conflict with the organization's best interests. When that's the case, you generally should probably have not let the coach coach this year. Because if you had a new coach, think about this. A new coach coming in, who's to say he doesn't say, well, I don't have any ties to Michael Vick. I didn't pick him 2 years ago. I don't want to prove myself right. So let me go get Peyton Manning. Or how about this? Let me go trade a bunch of first-round picks to get Robert Griffin III. Who's to say a new coach wouldn't have done that? Andy Reid wouldn't have done that, because with Robert Griffin III, there's no guarantee you're going to be good this year, and he needs to be good this year to save his job. The fact that Lurie brought Reid back is the biggest joke, because his best interests are in direct conflict with the organization's best interest. You're telling me you wouldn't go back in time and trade for Robert Griffin III and trade four first-round picks? Because I sure as hell would have.
Yep.
In a second. And he was up for grabs, and I wanted him to do it then.
Yeah, the Rams weren't going to use that pick. They were waiting.
I mean, the Rams should have never. They should have traded Sam Bradford.
Yeah, they really should have.
Instead of getting greedy with an extra first-round pick, you could have got two firsts for Bradford, guaranteed still. And the other thing about Bradford, he was signed the last year of the old contracts where they got $60 million.
Right.
The new quarterbacks get $20 million.
That's right.
So you're trading a guy that hurts your salary cap for a guy who's cheap and better, obviously. I mean, Robert Griffin III, maybe Washington trades him for Aaron Rodgers. Maybe.
Maybe.
But they have to think about it, and they don't.
His ceiling
for
is
anybody
incredibly
else.
High.
Robert, Aaron Rodgers certainly is getting paid like Kevin Cobb and Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's got a real team-friendly deal. Yep. So he's the best quarterback in football, getting paid like one of the worst. So they would think about Aaron Rodgers for Robert Griffin III, but they're not trading him for any other player. They are definitely not. They're laughing and hanging up if it's anyone other than Aaron Rodgers for Robert Griffin III.
Yep.
And, you know, you could have had him if you gave him enough draft picks.
Mm-hmm. The thing that about him, not to talk too much about him, but His football IQ is really impressive. I did not realize that about him, you know, coming out of that offense that he played in.
Taylor, yeah.
Transition to the NFL. And the Redskins have dumbed it down a lot, but they don't really need to because I'm watching this guy on tape, and he reads defenses really well.
Better than Vic does.
Better than Vic does, exactly. It's not even close.
This kid is going to be unbelievable in 2 years.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's going to be real. We're not going to be winning NFC East. You know,
yeah, you're
Redskins
right.
Aren't. And maybe the Giants because they have the best quarterbacks. But, you know, Dallas and Philly, you know, they might as well blow it up and start over completely because the Redskins are going to be really hard to beat. And so are the Giants. Both. But, yeah, I think Reed will stick with him just because he's firing himself, in effect, if he goes to Foles. And why is he going to do that? He's not. Maybe he decides, you know, 15 years, I will do what's best for the organization eventually, but it'll be a couple games past. I think they should see what they have in Foles because, you know, if Foles, you know, has a great year, then it's like, okay, we've got our quarterback. You know, we can look at other things in the offseason. But if he's terrible, then maybe we have to think about, is he really the guy? You know what I mean? So I think it absolutely makes sense. The sooner the better, if you ask me, the more of a sample we can get with him. To make better, more informed decisions next offseason, to me is good. I mean, really, right now the Eagles are 3-4. If you look at the NFC, they're going to need 10 wins to make the playoffs.
Yep.
You really see this team finishing 7-2? I sure as hell don't.
Nope.
9-7 is not making the playoffs in the AFC. Yeah, not in the NFC. Look at the teams that are going to make the playoffs: the Giants, 6-2. Chicago 6-1, Green Bay 5-3. They should be 6-2. Let's not forget the bad call they had, and they're on a roll. So that's three teams. Atlanta 7-0, they're in. San Francisco 6-2, they're in. So that's what: Giants, Chicago, Green Bay. That's three. Atlanta, San Fran. That's five. So
that's
one team left, and Minnesota's already 5-3.
Yep.
You know they're already a game and a half ahead of us. They're winning 62.5% of the games. Now, you know, maybe other than Minnesota, the next best team is 4-4, and there's only a couple of them, Arizona and Seattle. So there is a possibility that I guess 9-7 can make it. But odds are pretty
Seattle's
even. I don't really see 6-3 out of this team, to be honest, to get 9-7. I don't see that. I'd much more likely see, you know, 5-4.
You know what's interesting? Not to cut you off, but Vic led a players only meeting today. I wonder if anybody has actually tracked the statistics of when players call a players only meeting and what the win percentage is after that.
Interesting thought.
It's
yeah.
interesting, right? Yeah, we'll have to look it up. We'll have to do some fact checking and some digging to see if we can pull that up. But, yeah, I don't have a lot of hope for this
Eagles
season.
Eagles do have the next bunch of opponents are under 500 right now. The next, like, seven opponents. Or maybe it's 500 or under right now. They don't face a winning team, at least where their record is right now today. But
yeah, the Eagles were lucky to get to 3-1. They're very lucky to be even where they are now.
To be where they are. They don't deserve to be.
The thing that's the most perplexing and the most upsetting is how bad the offense has been. How do you average 17 points? How are you the most talented, one of the most talented rosters offensively in the league, and they're 26th in offense or whatever they are? It's really, really bad.
Yeah. No, there's only one team scoring fewer points per game.
Really? We're that low? That's
Jackson.
Joke.
Third, first,
with DeSean Jackson,
offense
Macklin,
is like
LeSean McCoy,
much
even with a patchwork offensive line, I'll give you the fact that the offensive line is
obviously
beaten up. You have to be able to make adjustments to get your players the ball in the right places.
Yeah. The turnovers is what is the reason why, because their yards are fine, but their points are
well,
not.
The last two games, they haven't turned the ball over.
The last one game. The game before that, they turned the ball over against Detroit. I know they did. There was at least like a fumble or two, wasn't there?
Yeah, maybe. But it wasn't like – I don't think they were like the backbreak
like
kind of ones that we had
four
earlier.
Four or five. Yeah, you're right. The fact was Castillo decided to change what he was doing
against
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, the end of the game.
When we were the game for no reason.
What was that? That got him fired.
Castillo's numbers. It did. Because Castillo's numbers in the first three quarters were like top five in every category. And then in the fourth quarter, it was like 32nd in every category. That's how bad he was over the first year and a half. That's just pathetic. And then, of course, our new guy comes in and we're bad the entire game.
Yeah, the whole game. Yeah.
Again, This guy, to really see what he is not going to be this year. You'd have to give him a full off season to really do what he wanted.
Right.
Not stick him with this fluky wide nines. You know what? I can't wait until the defensive line and the offensive line coach get rid of Mudd and his guys. You know what? All Mudd has done, our offensive line has been worse since Mudd's taken over
right.
by far than
it has been.
Before. Jamal Jackson is not one of Mudd's guys. He's way better than the centers they've had ever since then. And these Mudd's guys, they might be quick and fast, but they're not big enough, and they don't keep anyone off the quarterback. You know, the reason he succeeded in Indianapolis, I got two words for you.
Peyton Manning. Yep.
Made him look good. That is 100% of the reason why anyone thought Howard Mudd is a good offensive
line. And Jeff Saturday. Jeff Saturday is a borderline Hall of Famer. He's awesome.
Manning got the ball out really quick and never got sacked, and that made their offensive line look good. It wasn't this stinking coach. I can't.
And they used to run that stretch play really well, but the Eagles don't run
both
that.
Both of these line coaches are ridiculous. Here's the problem with the Eagles, and it always has been and always will be until Reed is finally gone. He thinks he can just put anyone in there, and his system is strong enough to where some stiff off the street can succeed.
Yep.
That's exactly what happened with Sean McDermott. And he went from that and one-upped himself and hired his offensive line coach who had never coached a defense before. Shockingly, other defense – and what they said was, oh, we're going to outwork people. You know, that's a slap in the face of every other defensive coordinator in the league because those guys are working 20-hour days. You're not outworking anyone, Juan Castillo. They're all working hard in the NFL. Are you kidding me? What, you're going to say we're the only ones working hard? I don't think so. Hard work doesn't get it done. You need to actually be smart and know what you're doing and then work.
You build – the system to work with the players, not the opposite way around.
Working hard is not giving you advantage over anyone because they are all working hard. Every coach in the NFL and every coaching staff in the NFL is working their butts off and working 16-hour days, 20-hour days, sleeping in the office. That's what they're all doing.
Yep.
You know, you're not getting an advantage over anyone with your hard work crap. I'm sick of that.
Yep.
Reed, the reason we have the worst special teams, I mean, we're like 30th, 31st, or 32nd in all four areas. Kickoff coverage, kickoff return, punt coverage, punt return. How are you the worst in every area? It's because he just signs stiffs off the streets and thinks they can play special teams because he is Andy Reid, the almighty god of football, and anyone is going to succeed with him. He doesn't worry about getting actually good players or good coaches because he thinks he's so great. He's this god of football that anyone will work for him, and that's the reason why our field position has been awful all year. Another reason why we can't score is because our special teams are so bad, we're starting every drive on the 15.
Yeah. And they –
like, well, let's just not give up a big play, and there's no way you're going
to
score 80.
You know what's weird? Every year they manage to not drill into a player's head, hey, don't field a punt under the 10-yard line.
Yeah,
what every year that happens to us. That's
because
pretty basic.
We have bad coaches because Andy Reid thinks anyone – we haven't had a good special teams coach since Harbaugh.
Yeah, you're right. Awesome.
And the Ravens made a great hire with him.
Yep.
You know, think about had they fired Andy Reid a couple years ago, they could have had Jim Harbaugh as the coach.
Yep, sure.
You know, Lurie is the biggest culprit here because he's letting all this happen. He's an enabler, and he's an enabler for Reid. And you know what it is? It's because he's arrogant. He wants to be the one who discovered Andy Reid, the Hall of Fame coach. You discovered Andy Reid, the moron. Sorry, pal. Sorry if it hurts your ego to realize that. You didn't discover any Hall of Fame coaches. You discovered an idiot and a terrible coach, and I will believe that. And I am done rooting for the Eagles. I am the biggest Eagles fan as there is, and I am rooting for them to lose because I can't take this anymore. I cannot take Andy Reid anymore.
I'm done.
I don't want to root. This is an unlikable team. It's better for the franchise if they lose now and
done.
Get
breaking up with you.
Get rid of Vic, start over. I'm done with it. I really am. I'm not rooting for them to win. I was not in the least bit upset about the Atlanta loss. Now, last year I was rooting for them to lose, and they did, and I thought for sure once they were 4-8, I said, please don't give me a meaningless win streak at the end of the year, and so they keep Reed. Of course, that's what happened, but this year it's over. I think they definitely have to fire Reed after this year, and I'm glad, and I'll be excited to watch the Eagles again.
On.
Hope they get the next Jim Harbaugh and really I would love to see them hire John Gruden. Love that. I just want to get somebody smart that can utilize the players, that cannot have blind spots with wide receivers for so long, then linebackers, safeties, special teams.
Safeties are
just
still
have
really
things
bad.
That we know going into is going to screw us over. Reed doesn't address it, and it screws us over every year. And we would have give us another coach the last 15 years, we would have won Super Bowls, I believe. And since
right.
Jim Johnson's left, Reed's teams have sucked. and that's not a coincidence.
Nope.
And he decided, instead of the Hall of Fame defensive coordinator we had, Andy Stiff will work. It's like, well, somehow that didn't work out. What a shock.
Yep.
What a freaking shock. So,
all right. Well, let's cut that short, because we're definitely gonna talk more birds in next week. So, but we don't have much show left. We're just gonna take a break, come back, do the tweet of the week, give some shout outs, and sign off for the night. Thank you guys for listening. This is the Upon Official Review Podcast.
I swear to Philly Sports.
That is us. Don't touch that dial.
I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the Upon Official Review Podcast, the last word in Philly sports. If you're not listening to us, then you don't know. You just don't know. You're missing out.
You are missing out.
And one of the things you are missing out on is the fantastic Tweet of the Week segment. So let's do that.
La, 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 la. Don't wait till I get my Twitter right. La. Can't tweet me nothing, right? Excuse me, did you tweet something? You can't tweet me nothing.
All right, guys, this week, Tweet of the Week is Eagles related, and I thought it was flipping fantastic. Tweet of the Week goes to my man at Jerry Was There, J-E-R-R-Y, Was T-H-R-E-R-E, and he tweeted, which I thought was genius. He said, I thought Vic said we had the makings of a dynasty. Turns out what he really said was, we're going to die and it's going to be nasty. I was like, that is genius.
Yes.
That is absolutely accurate. And it was hashtag Eagles problems, which we do. We have Eagles problems.
Gold standard.
Exactly, gold standard. That's what I'm going to start hashtagging, gold standard.
That and it's a laughing stock.
It really
laughing
is a
stock.
Joke. It's a joke. So that being said, we're going to go ahead and put a bow on this thing, but not before we give some shout-outs. So let's get into the
shout-out to everybody in the hood. Shout-out to everybody smoking that good. Shout-out to everybody in the club. Everybody getting live from the geeks to the thugs.
All right, Murdoch. Shout-outs. Who you got for this week?
All right. I got a couple of very cool ladies that follow us. I want to give a shout out to Live Sexy to the NJ. That would be at Live Sexy NJ, LiveSexynj, all one word. She's a big Eagles fanatic and also likes the Celtics, which she loses a couple points there, but she's a cool follower, and you know, Eagles fans, we love our Eagles fan followers, so sure. Give her a follow. She's definitely entertaining. And also our friend Megan, she's at Megan X Reno. That would be M-E-G-H-A-N, the letter X, R-I-N-O.
Oh yeah, we
all one word. They're both very cool. Follow them if you enjoy Philly sports fans and entertaining tweets. So those are my shout outs.
Good
what
stuff.
You got?
I got a few over here. You got to follow at the Miami Queet. It's Q-U-E-E-T. She's also a huge Eagles fan. definitely a good follow. Also, check
what
out
wheats mean.
I have no idea. I've never heard this term either.
I'm like, is this something the kids are saying? And I'm like, not hip anymore, so I don't know what wheat is. Exactly. Or is this like some kind of profane thing? I gotta Google this.
I have no idea. Yeah, you may have to find that out. Let me know once you've discovered the origin of this term. Also, Jillian Alexis. That's Gillian underscore Alexis. Another fantastic person to follow. Also, one of my newer favorite people at Sports J. It's Jay. And my homeboy Carlos at Main Event TV underscore AKA. Definitely follow his Twitter and check out his YouTube show. Huge sports fan. Does video game videos. Does Philadelphia sports videos. And one last one at Sigma Esquire 03, Sigma Esquire 03, and you will definitely enjoy following all those people. Very cool. Trust us. We only follow awesome people, and a lot of awesome people follow us. So thank you guys for the support. That's going to do it for us. Thank you guys again for listening, being a part of the show. Follow us at
FYI.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt. Queet, yes. There is one profane meaning, but according to Urban Dictionary, I'm going to go with this one, a combination of cool and sweet. So
okay, there you go.
Possibly means that. I definitely don't think she meant the other. So
okay.
I'm not even going to say it. That's
good detective work on you there, buddy.
Yeah, but cool and sweet. I'm pretty sure that's what she meant. Right, so or quite sweet, possibly also. That's a couple of the possible meanings they said there.
It's been a blast as always. I will talk
absolutely
to you very soon, and we will talk NFL power rankings. You guys definitely are going to listen to that. We'll
thanks
talk
for listening,
to you guys.
Guys.
Absolutely, and we'll talk to you online. So hit us up at Twitter at Official Review. We'll definitely be following all those sports. I'll be tweeting NBA games and
absolutely
definitely be doing
got anything you want Eagles us to mention on the show, go ahead and tweet at us. Any questions, comments? Feel free to tweet at us at Official Review anytime.
You guys have a good week. We'll talk to you later.
Yep.
Peace. Yes, anywhere.